Father, we thank you and bless you for this day, for this time. We pray now that all that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. We give you praise because somebody can rejoice in the freedom that they have experienced. And I pray, God, on the heels of this message, that even more will be able to say, freedom is mine. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who is the greatest fighter you have ever known or heard of? Depends on the sport. May depend on your age. There was a time when the heavyweight boxing champion of the world was the most feared man in the world. So people like Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson evoke fear in people. Some in my generation love to think that Bruce Lee was the greatest fighter of all time, but I don't know if anybody wants to fool with these mixed martial artists now, because they punch, grab, kick, wrestle. They do everything except bite and poke your eyes out. But I think when we think of fighters, we think of those who fight for a living. Some of you, in your BC days, hopefully in your BC days, were known as fighters. People knew not to mess with you, not to cross you up, because they knew you would protect yourself. And some of you not only protected yourself, but you stood up and fought for others. But now, after you've come to know Christ and you've moved forward in your life, you've got a little older, you've gotten a little wiser, you've made a determination that you're not going to be the fighter you used to be. Hopefully you don't look for fights. Hopefully you don't start many fights. Right? You decided that you're going to be calm. You're going to let the Holy Spirit kind of control your life. But I've got news for you today. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a child of God, one of the most important things you're going to have to learn how to do is fight. Not just fighting for the sake of fighting, but fighting for your own spiritual well-being. See, too many of us have this idea that God is going to just give to us what he wants us to have, and that we're not going to have to fight in order to get it or to keep it. One biblical example of that is the children of Israel, who are now looking at going into the promised land. God tells them all that's in the land and tells them to go and possess the land. They decide that they're going to send 12 people over, one person from each tribe, to co-sign on what God has already declared. And they come back from spying out the land and said everything that God said is true, but there are giants in the land. And the idea that popped into their mind was that if there were giants in the land and they had to do some fighting, then that must not be what God has for them. Because they function like many of us, thinking if it's from God, it must be easy and require little, if any, effort from us. And my brothers and sisters, when it comes to your walk with God, when it comes to your relationship with the Lord, you're going to have to do some fighting. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to win the fight against your strongholds. How to win the fight against your strongholds. Now, some of you may be asking, Pastor, why are you talking about this? We've talked about strongholds before, and we have, but let me tell you what the Holy Spirit made clear to me as we were getting ready for this week. The Holy Spirit made it clear to me that there are many of you who have identified your strongholds, interacted with your strongholds, but you have not defeated your stronghold. There are some of you who have managed to defeat your stronghold, but it's only been momentary, and you haven't fought to destroy your stronghold. The Apostle Paul, in our text today, says that you and I have the responsibility to fight our strongholds and fight to destroy our strongholds, not to negotiate with our strongholds, not to win a battle over our strongholds, but to defeat them and win the war against our stronghold. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. And for those of you who are watching, you can download the outline from the app or go to our website and you can find it there. Three things I want to share with you today that I hope and pray will give you some insight into how to win the fight against your strongholds. Number one, realize you are in a fight for your spiritual well-being every day of your life. You are in a fight for your spiritual well-being every day of your life. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, the ESV translation says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." The Corinthians were guilty of judging ministry and service and Paul's ministry specifically and the Christian life by the outward appearance of what they saw, what they heard, and what they did. And Paul wants to challenge them to realize that when we talk about this fight for the Christian life, that the fight that we are engaged in is for our spirit man on the inside, and it manifests itself sometimes with doing battle on the outside, but it's always rooted in seeking an internal victory for our spirit. All of us know, even if we don't live it, that we are in a constant battle for our physical well-being. Trying to eat right, exercise, drink enough water, rest, vitamins, checkups, and the like. But Paul says you have to fight not just for your physical well-being, you've got to learn how to fight for your spiritual well-being. And so he says, though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. That word walk literally means to just walk up and down. It's our daily activity, our daily movement. It speaks to life and living. And it's interesting because the word walk and the word war are in the present tense. In other words, these are things that are going on a day-to-day basis. He says, we do not walk, verse 3, according to the spirit, we walk in the flesh. But we are not waging war according to the flesh. We need to wage war in the spirit. So we walk day to day in our flesh, but he says, don't get confused. The battle that you are in is not a flesh battle, it's a spirit battle. And it just happens to manifest itself in the flesh. He says, you are in a spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 2 says they were evaluating things according to the flesh and not according to the spirit. And Paul wanted them to know that as much as they walked in the flesh, the war was not in the flesh. The war was in the spirit. I need somebody in here to realize, to recognize that you are in a fight and the enemy is fighting you whether you realize it or not. See, I think there's somebody under the sound of my voice that has said, you know what? I don't want to fight. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. Right? I worked hard, Pastor, to get that fighting spirit out of me. Here's the problem. You don't have to fight or claim you in a fight to get beat up by somebody fighting against you. The devil is determined to take you out. And the question is, are you willing to fight enough to claim your own spiritual well-being? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Help me, Lord. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil or wickedness in heavenly places. Look at A. Realize you are in a spiritual fight with the devil. You're in a fight with the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. B, realize you're in a spiritual fight with your flesh. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Every sin that you attempted to commit falls into one of three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Paul says you're in a battle with the flesh. But look at C. Realize you're in a spiritual battle with your past. You're in a spiritual battle with your past. Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Can I tell you something about the past? You will never win a fight with your past, because the past is unchangeable. You can overcome the past by making a decision in your present that's going to help you in your future, but you can't change the past. And there's somebody under the sound of my voice, you need to let it go so you can move forward in your life. Here's the second thing, if you're going to win the fight against your strongholds. Number two, realize in order to win a spiritual fight, you must rely on spiritual weapons. Realize to win a spiritual fight, you must rely on spiritual weapons. Now, here's the problem for too many of us, because the only fighting we have really done in our life has been physical. It's hard for us to recognize that we can fight and need to fight in this arena without raising our hands. We need to fight in this arena without opening our mouths. In other words, you can't cuss somebody out in this fight. You can't lay hands on them in this fight. You got to figure out some other weapons to use in this spiritual battle. So Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. They're not of the flesh, even though they will be done through your flesh. They are not of the flesh. It is your ability to access divine power to work on your behalf. Look at A. We're talking about spiritual weapons, the word. Everybody say the word. The word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word. That's why in your discipleship journey, we encourage you to read your word, to study your word, to memorize your word, to meditate on your word, on his word, because his word, when you read it and you study it and you memorize it and you meditate on the word of God, God will strengthen you to win the battles that you will come against. How many times have you read the word of God and God spoke through the power of the Holy Spirit to a situation you were dealing with or a situation you were going through? Or maybe the word of God prepared you for what was coming your way. Some of y'all have already testified to me that sermon several weeks ago about being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger has helped you out more than you even wanted to admit, right? But that's what the word of God does. That's why we want to preach and teach the word of God, because it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at B, second weapon, prayer. Prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We're not talking about now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. We're not talking about God is great, as God is good, let us thank him for our food. I'm talking about praying where you are sincerely not concerned about who's listening to your prayer on earth, but making sure that you are praying in a way that your prayer is heard in heaven. I'm talking about coming clean with God. I'm talking about being honest with God. I'm talking about talking to God like you're talking to me, and to say to God, God, if I ever needed you before, I sure do need you now. And most of us don't call on God until we have called on everybody else and they've let us down. And then we go to God. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know, but every other help you tried. Instead of ending with calling on God, how about if we learn how to begin by calling on God? Look at C, praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise is a weapon of spiritual warfare. When the Bible declares that God inhabits the praises of his people, that God shows up in a supernatural way, reminding us of who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, and based on that track record, what he can do. Praise encourages your own spirit and confuses your enemies. Because watch this, when your enemies think they took you out, they saw some tears welling up in your eyes, They sense some weakness. The enemy said, oh, I got him now. Oh, I got him now. But when you come off the top rope praising, when you bounce back giving him glory, now all of a sudden the question is, wait a minute, how did that happen? I thought we had him. I thought we had him. But here you are giving God praise in the midst of what you're going through. And my brothers and sisters, praise becomes a weapon in warfare. That's why the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Not in good times, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, realize in order to win a spiritual fight, you must commit yourself to using divine power to destroy the strongholds in your life. You've got to use divine power to destroy the strongholds in your life. Everybody say destroy. For some of us, our strongholds have been with us so long, we think they're part of our personality. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you think to destroy the stronghold might destroy part of who you are. And God says, because the stronghold is not of you, even though it might be holding you back, it needs to be destroyed and not just defeated. I'm not going to ask you to show your hand. I'll raise both of mine. I've identified some strongholds, And I have defeated some strongholds. But I realized it was temporary. And the reason I realized it was temporary is because the stronghold came back. That stronghold started knocking on the door. And I'm like, what you doing here? I thought I already took care of you. He said, oh, no, that was just a moment. I'm back. You know, we've been together too long. You didn't think you could get rid of me that easy, did you? I know you was mad at me, but come on, you know we've been together a long time. And I recognize that at that moment, I need to put the stronghold down and take the stronghold out. Listen, here's what I've learned. There are times, consciously or not, when we allow our enemy, our adversary, to have authority and a position in our lives to not only create a stronghold, but to continue a stronghold. That word stronghold literally means a castle or a fortress. In this context, Paul uses a stronghold to identify an area in your life, where the results of sin have taken root in your spirit, so much so that it affects who you are, how you think, and what you do. Continuing to give Satan power in that area of your life to cause you to live below God's will for your life and your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. Let me say it again, and you can catch it later on YouTube. A stronghold is an area in your life where the results of sin, not necessarily your sin or sin you committed, it is many times tied to a sin that has been committed against you. So the stronghold is not your fault, but it becomes your problem. It's the results of sin that have taken root in your spirit so much so that it affects who you are, how you think, and what you do, continuing to give Satan power in that area of your life to cause you to live below God's will for your life in your thoughts, words, and deeds. And Paul says the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. And you need spiritual weapons if you are going to access divine power to destroy the strongholds in your life. That word power, divine power, dunamis, the verb form, dunamai, right? This insurmountable, incalculable power that is divine in origin and nature. It is God's power. This is not your power. It's God's power that you need to destroy the stronghold in your life. Look at verse 19, Ephesians chapter 1. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. My late Pastor Dr. E.K. Bailey would said, if your problem is not bigger than a dead Jesus that was risen by a living God, then your problem is not too big for God to solve. And he says literally to destroy the strongholds, to demolish it. See, it's not enough to identify the stronghold in your life or just engage with the stronghold in your life. He says you got to destroy it. The destruction of the stronghold has to be your goal. And it can only be done in divine power. Y'all remember them old Western movies? They used to always bother me how the cowboys would get in a fight and they knock one of the cowboys down and then they go pick him up. And then keep on swinging and then knock him down again and then go pick him up. I'm looking at that saying, man, why are y'all picking him back up? You know how hard it was to knock him down. And it takes too much energy to pick him up. If he can't get up himself, man, keep him down. Right? Or you ever watch a movie when you say, oh, they're going to let this person live. And you're like, no, dummy, don't let them live. They're going to come back. They're going to kill you later on. And sure enough, here they come back. And then the person says, well, I thought, you know, I let you live. You know, Like, no, man, you're supposed to take them out. Strongholds. You're supposed to take them out. And Paul says you cannot defeat the devil in your own strength. You cannot fight spiritual battles and be victorious without relying on God's power. That's why reading, studying, memorizing, and meditating on the word of God is so important. That's why prayer is so important. That's why praise is so important, because they give you access to divine power to move on your behalf. And you need to realize that as a child of God, you have access to supernatural power. It's the Holy Spirit, fill in the blank, that is inside you, right? 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It's the Holy Spirit living inside of you that gives you power. But not only that, the Holy Spirit fights for you. Holy Spirit will fight for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Barry, Brandon's son, they were at the house, and Barry started asking me for something. I knew he wanted something. I had no idea what he was saying. And so I was like, say it again, Barry. And that's what it sounded like for me. You know, I was like, huh? Like, almost trying to get a little indignant about it. You know, like, you don't understand what I'm saying? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, say it one more time. I'm like, Barry, I don't know what you... And my son said, Dad, he wants a snack out of the pantry. I'm trying to figure out, how did you get that out of... My son had to interpret for me what his son was saying, because he was speaking in a way that he understood that I didn't. Now, y'all think I'm talking about Barry and Brandon. I'm really talking about you, the Holy Spirit, and God. Because even when the words cannot be articulated in an understandable way, the Holy Ghost is a moan and groan interpreter who can take your moanings and your groanings and interpret them for the Father to allow God to move on your behalf. Somebody, you have to choose. You got to choose to fight. Fight for your spiritual well-being. Fight for your spiritual power, and know that the enemy is going to come against you. So I got here to the church in 1994, and there was a lady here. Deacon Tibbs would remember her. I'm not going to call her name to protect the guilty. And but she didn't like me riding or walking. I didn't do anything because I had just got here. Like, literally, I just got here. So I wasn't here long enough to make anybody mad. But she was mad about the process, and so she's fussing and she's cussing and threatening people. And we had a meeting, and so we were talking about the calendar. And Deacon Tibbs was here. I know Mother McGowan was here. Brother Seals was here. Sister Seals, I'm sure they were here. And so we're talking about the calendar, and there's some conflicts. And so I just said, well, I said, I tell you what, I said, some of these things I didn't know about.
we'll get back together and we'll walk through and work through the conflicts. And so I walk out that door. As I'm walking out the door, this woman grabs me by the arm. He says, "You think you running something around here? You don't run anything in this church." And I mean, she grabs my arm, right? And so I'm looking. So I looked at her and I looked at my arm, because she's holding my arm. And I looked at her again and I looked at my arm. And so I'm trying to figure out, now, how do I respond to this, right? Because she wasn't a big woman. So I knew if I snatched my arm and she held on, she was going to get flung somewhere. And then the word on the street would have been, a new pastor at Good Hope is hitting the members. So I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. So I look and I look at her and I look at my arm and her hand on my arm, grabbing my arm. And I looked at her again, and then I saw this shift. It was like I saw the devil behind the mask of her face. And when I saw that, I went, and I started laughing. I said, "The devil is a liar." And you know when I started laughing, you talking about sure enough mad then? Oh, she was hot as fish grease then. But she let go of my arm. Here's all I'm trying to get you to see. Many times you think it's people, and it's the devil behind and using people. And sometimes, watch this, when it comes from multiple places, it's just the devil using multiple people who have made themselves available to be used by him. You talking about, ooh, when it rains, it pours. It was at work, two people at work, one person on the road driving, one person at the coffee shop. It's just the devil moving, just using whomever he can. That's why your life groups are so important. Because God puts people in your life to encourage you who are going through what you're going through. And you can pray for one another and pray with each other. And you can study your word and you can learn your word together. Why? Because the devil's not using any new tricks. The only thing new to the devil's game is you. And it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do the same thing for you, and we can encourage one another. Let me just close by telling you this. The enemy will do everything he can to debilitate you, to depress you, to destroy you. But you got to make up in your mind to keep fighting for your spiritual well-being. You've got to recognize the devil is not going to give you a free pass to becoming all that God wants you to be. But when you make a commitment and say, "I'm going to fight for my own spiritual well-being. I'm going to fight for my own spiritual sanity. I'm going to fight to become all that God wants me to be. I'm going to fight to be used to the glory of God. I'm going to fight to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm going to fight." But here's the good news. You don't have to fight by yourself. Because if God is for you, I said, if God is for you, he's more than the world against you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Have I got a witness here? When the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, it doesn't mean that there be no weapons. It just means whatever weapons are formed will not prosper. Because you put your hand in God's hand. Have I got a witness here? So whenever the storms of life are raging, and whenever you feel tempted to throw in the towel, I'm just going to tell you, like the old song said, yield not to temptation. For yielding is sin.
Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, and he will carry you through. Have I got a witness in here? Have you tried him for yourself? Anybody, can you testify that the Lord will bring you through? Yes, he will. If you trust him, if you lean on, if you rely on him, he can do what no other power can do. And can I tell you something? You feel like giving up the most when you get to the end of your power. When you say, I don't know what to do. I can't think of anything else to do. Lord, I'm ready to give up. The Lord said, now trust me. Come on, you done come to the end of your rope. Now trust me. You've done everything you can do. Now trust me. You've tried everything. You've tried everything you can figure out. God said, nah, you through now? God said, you through now? Now come on and trust me. And watch me do what no other power can do. Father, we bless you today. Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you. We pray now that somebody would leave here today committed to fight and to win the fight to destroy the strongholds in their life. Bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.